All right, we're going to read from Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 6, verses 47 to 49. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug deep down and laid his foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck in the house, struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So Jesus is giving us a parable. Here it says, built a house with a ground without a foundation. In the King James Version, it's pretty blatant and says they built it on sand. So we've got two different houses, and we've got two different foundations. We've got one of stone, and we've got one of sand, and we've got two different men. And in this text, Jesus divides the whole world into two different groups of people, the wise people and the foolish people. He's pretty blatant, black and white. What he's teaching us in this text is it's up to us if we're going to be a wise person or we're going to be a foolish person. No one is born with a predisposition to be wise, and no one is born with a predisposition to be foolish. It's your choice. So I want you to tell your neighbor to make the right choice. Tell them not to be a fool. Don't be a fool, right? So even though this teaching has a contrast of variables, there's one thing that's the same, and that's the storm. The point is that storms come to everyone. Doesn't matter if you're foolish. It doesn't matter if you're wise. And that being said, the only question that's not being asked is why, how, or where the storm, but when the storm. If you live in a place called Tornado Alley, we're north of Tornado Alley, thank goodness. There's no question of why the storm comes, or if they're going to come, or what direction they're going to come from, because none of that makes a difference. The question remains to be answered is when there's going to be a storm. And the truth is that question can't be answered because no one can control the weather. At best, we can try to predict the weather, right? So the same is true of in life. No one knows when the storm's going to come. You don't know when a storm is going to affect your life. And in storms, some have the advantage of daylight hours. They can see the clouds start to get gray and the sky start to toil, and they can see the storm coming from a distance. And they're able to brace for that storm or to get out of the way of that storm. But for others, during a storm, it happens at night while they're sleeping. And they went to bed after a beautiful summer's day in the evening or spring evening, summer or spring evening, and woke up to the sound of a tornado ripping their house apart, destroying everything that they have held so dear. Even the loss of husbands, wives and children. In the morning light, all that remains are the broken and shattered homes and pieces of a life that used to be a home, a marriage that used to be beautiful, a body that used to be healthy and strong, a family that used to be close and used to love each other. I'm relating these to storms in life now. A mind that used to be clear and sharp and uncluttered with drugs and alcohol. A retirement plan that used to exist but got blown away by the storm. A car that used to be beautiful but got blown away by the storm. Dreams and aspirations that were destroyed. All that happens without warning, and it happens if we're sleeping. I wonder how many storms that we have in our lives that we could actually prevent if we weren't sleeping, if we weren't asleep. And I know that some storms are not avoidable. Some storms just happen. But there are a lot of storms in our lives that we could avoid if we were awake or if we would just wake up. So look at your neighbor and tell him to wake up. Nobody's sleeping, right? All marriages don't have to end in divorce. All physical attacks don't have to lead to heart attacks and strokes or cancer. A lot of things happen in our lives simply because we're asleep. We're sleeping. We're not watching. We're not paying attention. In 1 Thessalonians, my screens aren't changing, are they? There we go. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for those who sleep at night and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. I'm sorry, for those who sleep at night and those who get drunk at night. Samson, if we look back, and we're not going to read the whole story of Samson, we'll be here half the night. He didn't have to have his eyes punched out. He didn't have to suffer humiliation. He didn't have to play the part of a fool or be the slave of a Philistine in a Philistine prison. The storm that he had in his life could have been avoided. Samson's problem was that he was sleeping when he should have been praying. He was sleeping when he should have been reading the Word of God. He was sleeping when he should have been in church listening to the Word of God being preached. When he should have been taking notes and making preparations, building his foundation. Samson was sleeping when his storm was brewing. And Samson closed his eyes to an obvious threat around him. Samson pretended everything was okay. Everything was going to be fine, when he knew in his heart all was wrong. And so today there's someone here that's going through a storm. You're going through a storm. And I know, again, some storms are unavoidable. But there are storms that we go through in life that we don't have to go through. Torment that you don't have to go through. Heartbreak that you don't have to experience. And these storms, these are the storms that are a product of the fruit of our flesh and our self-will and free will and decisions. Samson's life was a series of storms and tragedies and heartbreaks, and every one of them was a product of his self-will, everything that he chose to do, and actions birthed out of the desire of his flesh. We've all been there, right? No one can point a self-righteous finger tonight at someone else. We've all blown it. We've all lived and been moved by the flesh. We've all ignored wise counsel one time or another, and we did just what we wanted to do because we wanted to do it. We're stubborn. And like Samson, we found ourselves in a storm. But these aren't the storms that this scripture is talking about tonight, when Jesus is talking about building our house on a rock versus sand. He's talking about the unforeseeable storms, the storms that may be supernatural in design, in origin, unavoidable. They're not the consequences of bad or selfish or carnal desire. These storms are designed to destroy your faith and to take you out. It's a fiery furnace, designed and formed and created for the sole purpose of destroying your life. Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace was supposed to prove publicly that the faith of the Hebrew children was worthless. It was his intention to publicly humiliate the testimony and the confession of those children of faith. And that's the purpose of the storm that we're talking about tonight. That's the reason that it comes. It comes to humiliate you, to ridicule you, to destroy your faith in God, to put you on display and say to the world, they couldn't make it, neither will you. I destroyed them, I'll destroy you too. And the sad truth is that there's many in church that have been blown away by storms and they have fallen because they built their house on the sand. They went to church, they heard the preacher, they shouted, they sang, they even paid their tithes, but they built their house on sand. Sand means that surface that's shifting, moving, changing, unstable. They built their religious affiliation, they built on their religious affiliation, or they built on their good deeds, or they built on the morality and legal righteousness. They built on their own wisdom and their own knowledge. All of these things are but sand. They don't mean anything. Moving and shifting and rising and twisting. No wonder why the songwriter said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." So all other ground besides Christ is sand. It's no mystery when someone fails, regardless of how big or beautiful the house is or the ministry that they live in. Jesus reveals that when the house is destroyed in the storm, it's a foundation problem. It's a problem with the foundation. And that's where so many people miss it. We build everything up where everyone can see it. We build up things in our lives so that we're proud of, so we can impress others. We want anointing, and we want to minister. We want to preach, and we want to teach. We want to sing. We want to evangelize. We want big houses, fancy cars, reputations, and popularity. And we put all of our energy into what we can see. But we fail to build a strong foundation. Jesus said that the wise men dug down deep and laid his foundation on the rock. The wise man understood. He understood that the most necessary thing in his house was the foundation. Most of Eau Claire is sand. I don't know about you, but if your yard is sand, and I can dig and dig in my yard, and all I get is sand. And I can keep digging, and I run into roots, but all I get is sand. But I'm sure if I kept digging deep down, I would probably find some rock. And the wise man is more concerned with what people can't see. He's more concerned with what's deep down in the ground that he's going to build his house on. Jesus spent 30 years of his life laying a foundation for 3.5 years of ministry. We know he was born. We saw him in the temple when he was 12, teaching. And then we knew nothing of him after he was 12 till he was about 30 years old when he started his ministry. What was he doing? He was building his foundation. He was laying the foundation for his ministry. He was teaching us how to build our lives. We're going to look at Matthew 6, 1 through 8. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving heart may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." He taught us to do our praying in the secret closet, to do our alms between ourselves and God, to fast secretly unto the Lord, not seeking attention from others. Doesn't mean that we can't pray in public. It doesn't mean that we can't give in public. But the key is that when we're building our foundation, we're digging deep. We're building it where people can't see it. And he says, when you've done these things secretly, your Father in heaven will reward you openly. So the wise man dug deep. He digs down deep. He's willing to invest. It's homecoming weekend. Isn't that nice? He's willing to invest time and effort in building a good foundation. Jesus reveals that the reason one man's house was destroyed by the storm and the others wasn't, it was all because of the foundation. One was built on rock and one was built on sand. Laying the foundation for a successful life is hard work. It's not easy. Anyone can shout, dance, run, and sing, right? But it's hard sometimes to shout and dance, to run and holler when you're digging and hitting rocks and roots and getting things out of the way that are unstable, undependable, shifting, and loose. Back to digging in your yard when you're looking for that rock. It's a lot of work to dig through all that sand until you find that rock. The wise man digs down deep. You have to dig past feelings. You have to dig past emotions. You have to dig past popular opinions. You have to dig past religious pedigree and dig past head knowledge. You have to dig past secondhand revelation. In other words, you can't build your life on who everyone else says Jesus is. You've got to know him for yourself. You've got to know who Jesus is on your own. There's a lot of things in life that are unavoidable. There are storms that take us by surprise. And there are storms, like I said, are supernatural in design and origin. But the revelation that Jesus brings to us is this: if the house has the right foundation, it will be standing when the storm's over. That simple. Tell your neighbor, I've had my share of storms, but I'm still standing, right? We're still standing. You see me standing up here tonight, it may look like I have it all together, but that doesn't mean I've never been through a storm. You hear me speaking words of encouragement and blessing and lifting you up, but that doesn't mean I've never been through a storm, that I've never been down. I don't have time to talk tonight about all the storms I've been through. Just the few, right? Some I could avoid. Some I could have avoided. Some I couldn't. But the message I want to get to you is this: I'm still standing. Here I stand. And that's what's important. I take a good hit, but I'm still standing. And I'm not looking for you to glorify me because I'm standing. We can take a good hit, but we're still standing. We have bad storms, but we're still standing. Stuff is tore up all around in our lives, but we're still standing. We may have lost stuff that we thought we could do without, but you know what? We're still standing. We may have blew some people away, or the storm may have blew some people away in our lives that we thought were friends, but you know what? We're still standing. Sometimes it feels like the storm's never going to end, but we're still standing. You ask, how do you make it? How do you survive? Others didn't make it. How do you make it through the storm of sickness? How do you make it through the storm of a lost loved one? How do you make it through the storm of broken relationships? How do we make it through the storms of divorce or heartbreak or financial disaster? How do you make it when everything that you hold dear is taken from you? So many people give up. So many people fall, and so many people quit. What's the secret? I lost my page. The secret is our foundation, right? I'm having a storm. You've got to find the rock is a secret, right? You've got to dig past everyone else. You've got to dig past church, dig past religion, dig past emotions, dig past your feelings and opinions, and hit the rock. We have to find the rock. I've weathered my share of storms. I've felt the rain as it's pelted on my life. I've heard thunder roll and seen lightning flash. I've felt the hand of fear as it tried to grip my heart. But you know what? I kept on digging until you find the rock. Tell your neighbor, I hit the rock. When you feel that rock under your feet, you know you're safe. When you feel the rock under your feet, you know you're going to make it, because nothing's going to move that rock. In 2 Samuel 2:22, he said, The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Psalm 62:2, truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. One of my favorite Bible verses, David says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What David is saying here in this verse is it doesn't matter what comes our way in life, we're going to make it, because nothing can move our rock. Earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, hurricanes, volcanoes, fires, I can go on and on, famines, pestilence. Nothing's going to move our rock. And we know our rock is Jesus Christ. And I'm not asking today if you caused a storm that you're in, or if you didn't cause the storm that you're in. The point is if you're in the storm, all of the stuff around you is shaking. And everything you've been holding on to may be falling apart. But David said in Psalm 61, "From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So tonight I want us to go to the rock that's higher than us, the rock that's higher than your storm, the rock that's higher than the fight you're in, the rock that's higher than the fire that you're going through, higher than the enemy that's warring against you. So let's talk about this rock for a minute. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I'll tell you what they say in summary. In Exodus 17, it says, "Water came out of the rock and quenched the thirst of between 1 and 3 million Israelites." In Judges, it talks about the fire coming out of the rock and consuming Gideon's offering. In Job 29, the rock poured out rivers of oil. In Psalm 81, he said he would satisfy with honey from a rock. In 1 Corinthians, there is a rock that followed the children of Israel all through the wilderness wanderings. And then it says, and that rock was Christ Jesus. That's the rock we're talking about. It's the same rock that Jesus said in Matthew 16, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail," in another version, "will not overcome it." I can get you these scriptures later. So I know you were trying to write them down. So that's the rock I came to talk about tonight. It's a rock that never rolls. It's a foundation that never shifts. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the captain that never loses a battle. He's your shelter in time of a storm. He's your fortress, your high tower. Everything in your world may be shaking right now. Everything may be falling apart right now. The wind and the rain are blowing and they're pelting against you right now. And it may look like there's nothing and no one that you can depend on. But you know what? If you'll step on the rock, you're going to make it. You're going to stand. I can't promise that the storm's going to stop. I can't promise that all the problems are going to disappear. But I can promise that you're going to make it. Because nothing can move my rock. World government is shaking. Our economy is falling apart. The religious world is shaking. Family structure is falling apart. Everything around us is shaking except the rock, except for Jesus Christ. You're going to make it. Because if you make it to the rock, you're going to make it. If you make it to Jesus Christ, you're going to make it. Nothing can move my rock. That's what I want you to get in your head tonight. Nothing can move my rock. If you're building on the world's religious system, you know what? You're going to fail. If you're building on the world's economic system, you're going to fail. If you're counting on the government and this big election coming up to take care of all the problems, you're going to fail. If your faith is in Social Security, you're going to fail. If you're counting on your ability to play the stock market, you're going to fail. There's only one thing that you can depend on in this world today. There's only one foundation that's true, and that's the Rock of Gibraltar, the Rock of Ages, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you build on any other foundation, the Bible says what? You're a fool. There's the wise, there's the fool. So look at your neighbor. I'm going to build my house on the rock. Because nothing's going to move my rock. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for the rock, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that we can put everything and depend on him, Lord. Lord, regardless of what's going on in this world, in our lives, Lord, as individuals, Lord, or as a community or as a country, Lord, we know that Jesus Christ is a solid rock. And Lord, help us to learn to depend on you. Help us to learn to spend time in prayer, Lord, with you, and spend time in fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, we just pray for those around us tonight, Lord, who are celebrating homecoming in this town, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll keep them safe. Lord, we pray that you lead someone to them, Lord, to share the gospel with them, Lord, to show them who that rock is. Lord, all the alcohol that's flowing on the streets tonight isn't a solid rock. Lord, all that comes from that is trouble and sorrow and sadness, Lord. Lord, but the drink that we get from you is solid. It's stable. It keeps us strong. Lord, I'm so thankful for each one here. I pray that you'll bless them, Lord. Help us just to ingrain in our minds, nothing can move our rock. Lord, and we need to build our foundation on that rock. Help us to take the things in our life, Lord, that are built on sand and to move them, Lord, and build them on the rock. Lord, I'm so thankful for these things in your name. Amen.